From the Absolute Net Radio Studios, this is Whyfish Radio for February 24th, 2005.
This is the Whyfish Radio Podcast from why-fish.com.
Went up on the hill about 12 o'clock, reached right back and got me a pole. Went to the hard one, got me a hook, fished that line right on that hook. Said you've been fishing all the time, I'm a-gonna fish you too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Get a fish bite. Got good bait, here's a little something of a legendary. In a fish bite, got good bait, I'm a gonna fish it. Yes, I'm gonna fish it, I'm a gonna fish it too.
From the Absolute Net Radio Studios, here are your Why Fish Radio hosts, Brad and Brad.
Welcome to this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. I'm the other Brad, back from a couple of weeks off, and Brad number one was holding down the fort quite aptly in my absence. Today we have the good fortune to be joined by one of the top walleye pros in the country right now, Bruce Doc Sampson. He's a North Dakota boy originally, now lives north of the Twin Cities, and he's won at least two tournaments on Devil's Lake, and in 2002 had the good fortune of winning $300,000 for taking first place in the Walmart RCL Walleye Championship on the Mississippi River in Red Wing, Minnesota. Doc, welcome to Whyfish Radio.
Well, thanks for having me here.
You're at the top of the walleye world right now. Talk a little bit about how you got started fishing.
Man, when I start, I got finished med school, started working as a doc, bought a golf cart, went golfing, bought a boat, never golfed since, except just with my father and my brother. And I just have such a passion for fishing. I bought all the equipment, all the books, and I couldn't catch walleyes. I had no idea on the patterns and weather conditions. And then I met a friend of mine, and Jerry Anderson, who was already a tournament fisherman, and he taught me how to pattern walleyes. And amazingly different then. You know, then all of a sudden I started to have choices when the fish weren't there. So then I started fishing. Had to take a little break, take care of my family, and got out of the circuits and just fished part-time tournaments for a while and just honed my skills since I knew what I was looking for then, and practice. And then I started fishing the circuits again and got hot for a while and gave me the bank account to go to do this full-time.
I bet you it's been a lot of fun too, hasn't it?
Amazing. I love fishing. That's the bottom line. I'm not doing this career for anything because I love fishing. And I at the end of the day in the boat, I don't want to go in. The only reason I go in is if I don't go in, I won't get my other work done, and I'll be too tired for the next day.
Now, I know you won your first PWT tournament on Devil's Lake in 1999. Talk a little bit about that win, because I remember covering that event. And as I recall, you were on a pattern where you didn't have a lot of boats around you for a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think it was an emerging pattern. What it was is that there was a tremendous trolling bite on the Minnewaukan Flats over the cattails. And I was in on that too, and it was like really good fishing. And then I caught a few fish on the rocks. And actually, I caught on some deeper rocks on about a half hour before I quit fishing on the last day. And I caught a 6-pound walleye. And missed another one, and saw the fish there. That's why I was fishing them, because I spotted them. And then I had to make this decision, because the fishing was so good at Minnewaukan. And then what really made it was is that there aren't many rocks in Devil's Lake to fish at that depth. And so I was thinking, well, if quite a few guys are fishing rocks for these fish, they'll be in the way and I won't be able to get them. Well, by luck, I decided, well, I can't win fishing the middle of boats, so I'm going to go fish rocks and hope. Well, everybody headed for Minnewaukan. I never had a boat by me the entire first day. And came in, and that was, 6 pounds ahead of everybody.
That had to have been an amazing feeling, knowing you were on a pattern like that and not having a lot of company.
Well, I didn't know it until the end of the first day, because the fish I was catching were the same size over in Minnewaukan, so I told the guy, well, I think we had a good day. We'll probably be in the top 10. Because those were, they had the same chances of getting those fish in Minnewaukan. Those fish just decided not to bite.
Was that kind of the beginning of your real climb up the ranks as far as a pro walleye fisherman, that victory?
No, I had been doing very well before that. I had a lot of top 10 finishes, and I hadn't won one, and I was I really wanted to win one. I had I had some seconds and fifths, and then I had a PWT where I led the first day, and I led the second day, and it ended up in third, and it really hurt. And that's like, I don't want any more of these. I want a first place. And you can't just decide when you're going to win. It just happens. You know, you do all your hard work, and things just turn out in your favor. And but so it isn't like you can plan, but I really wanted to win.
Well, it certainly worked out good that trip. And, of course, in 2002, an amazing tournament, Walmart RCL Walleye Championship on the Mississippi River, first place, and I mean, it's hard to even fathom what that must be like. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was, we'll call it a career-changing event. It's what gave me the opportunity to give up my day job, which was a doctor, to go fishing, which I like being a doctor. It was a good job, but I love fishing more. And it gave me the opportunity to make that change. You know, I didn't even think about the money didn't really set in until about a week later, you know, because you just won the something you'd worked so hard for. I had, when they announced it was on Red Wing, which is an hour and 45 minutes away, I knew I was going to prepare for this tournament. I had like 21 days on the water before that tournament, you know, spread out over the summer months, where I went out and navigated and looked things over and tested things. I was well prepared for that. And when the tournament came, I had choices. When my fish ran out, I never ran out of spots. And I patterned it, starting to pattern it, I think about the week before. They were biting in everything, leeches and minnows and night crawlers. And I started thinking that they were the bigger fish wanted big minnows. And I wasn't the only one that figured that out, but not everybody did. So there was only a few of us, and I just went fishing big fish.
Did you have to run very far from the boat ramp?
we call that a low overhead tournament. I think I used probably 2 or 3 gallons a day. It was amazing. There were a lot of guys that figured that out too. And I had some places they weren't fishing, though. I mean, that's one of the things I had. I was fishing where there were other boats, but I had a few places that I didn't have any company on. And they just missed it because nobody had been there before, and some of the places were really hard to navigate to. So I had those to myself, which was nice. And then the last day, when you're down to only a few boats, then I went and fished a community hole because I had it to myself. And it was really nice because I knew I won when I got the last fish. Well, that's not true. I knew I won until I got in, because I get in, and there's this Mike Gofron, who's a tremendous fisherman. He'd already been in since 9:30 with his limit, because it was a no-call tournament. So I already knew I won, and when I get in, it's like, I was done at 11:30. I finished with a 4-pounder, and he's in there, and you can't tell each other how well you did. And when you have somebody that good that's in at 9:30, you're just nervous.
Justifiably so, especially with stakes like that. And of course, you talked a little bit about how winning this tournament really changed your life, you know, as far as your career. And over the past few years as a walleye pro, electronics has really been, you know, kind of one of your specialties, one of the things you're known for. Maybe tell us a little bit about how you equip your boat, you know, as far as electronics, and how that helps you catch fish.
Yeah, I want to go back on that. You said electronics. Electronics was always important to me. GPS and sonar, but I never really had the time to really understand it until I gave up my doctor job and went fishing. Then I was able to put the time into it, and it's amazing what I missed. I really missed a lot, and I've learned so much since I put the time in. I equipped my boat with, last year I had 2 104s in the boat, and this year I'm going to have 2 111s. They're a Lowrance product, big screen, 10.4 inches across diagonally, and it's a huge screen. The guy in the back of the boat doesn't ask you what depth it is anymore when you're in the front of the boat, because he can read the depth from the back of the boat. And I use a ruggedized laptop in the boat, which connects to my GPS, so that it is GPS accurate, so I could see myself and all the maps that I have in the computer. Of course, then, you know, the computer is too much in the way. It's too big. So I put it under the dash, and I have a wireless display, which is water-resistant and sunlight-viewable touchscreen. So I could run the computer from this little wireless display anywhere in the boat. And so I actually make my own contour maps, and then I see those on the display, which is amazing for fishing and understanding what you're fishing in 3D. Everybody know the chips that come out that come from Lake Master, Navionics, and Lowrance with the contours on them are so important for understanding the structure in terms of 3D instead of 2D, two-dimensional. And making your own is even better because I fine-tune it so much more. Other than that, my boat, I tie the GPS into my autopilot on my kicker. I run a TR1 on my kicker, and I can tell it to go to a waypoint, and a kicker will steer me to it.
It's absolutely amazing what those electronics will do as far as showing you where you are and how to get to where you want to go next. And, of course, your seminars focus a lot about how to use those electronics. Maybe talk a little bit about, I know you actually do a school, a more in-depth type of situation than just your regular seminars. Talk about the two and kind of what the difference is between them.
Well, when I do my one-hour seminars, they're more show and tell. I do a little bit on what so understanding what sonar really is and how it works so people get that idea. And then I show them some of the exotic maps that are available. I try to tune it for their area. Like I'm doing the Grand Forks show today and tomorrow, so I'm going to show the new maps of Devil's Lake and Lake of the Woods because those are what people fish in this area. If I do another area of the country, I try to show the maps for that area. When I do my all-day seminars, I do it with a friend of mine named Bill Dietrich, and he's been giving electronic seminars for 30 years. Hooking up with him was a good idea. Anyway, so we do like 7 hours of how to understand your sonar, GPS, how to save waypoints to your computer, all the new maps and how to use the mapping software. It's an it opens everybody's eyes up. I'm amazed every time I look at it because it's so new.
Is there ever a risk of all this gadgetry, you know, just kind of getting in the way of just, you know, kind of the basics of what makes fishing fun in the first place?
Not for me. I haven't noticed it yet. I mean, I watch the electronics so that it doesn't interfere with my thinking on fishing. You could get too much into it and then forget what you're trying to pattern these fish. What are they doing? Are they 12 feet, 2 feet? Are they hungry today? Are they not hungry? And I'm getting good at that. First, it was I had a little trouble focusing on that because I had all these new tools that were really good, and I didn't have the skills to make them efficient. I'm past that now. I put that work in the winter, and it doesn't get in the way. And it's still fun fishing for me. I still get to the end of the day. It doesn't matter if I fish 100 days in a year, if it's competition or not. I still like fishing.
Well, it was really great to have Doc on board for an interview, Brad. Anything else you'd like to add about Doc Sampson?
Well, for anyone who wants a little more information about Doc Sampson and some of the things he can offer in terms of electronics education, check out his website, www.hightechfishing.com. That's www.hightechfishing.com.
And as always here on Why Fish Radio, we'd like to remind you to sign up for our full day's fishing trip with Kent at Trophy Cat Adventures. And don't forget to check him out, trophycatadventures.com. And to win that full day's trip, just send us an email, contest@y-fish.com. And for another week of Why Fish Radio, I'm Brad.
And I'm Brad. And until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Put on the skillet, let my dad, mama gonna cook a little short bread. Tell you been fishing all the time, I'm gonna fish it too. I bet your life, loving wife, get more fishing you. Any fish bite, got good bait, here's a little something I would like to say. Any fish bite, got good bait, I'm gonna fish it, yes, I'm gonna fish it, I'm gonna fish it too.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio Podcast with Brad and Brad from y-fish.com. Why Fish Radio was produced by Absolute Net Radio. Find us on the web at absolutenetsolutions.com.